Hello, and welcome to Soul-Led Living, a podcast dedicated to helping you live your soul's true path so you can create the dream life you know you are meant to live. I'm Nikki Novo, your spiritual mentor, a fiery Latina, mom of three, and an advocate for living soul-led. You're here because you're meant to be here, so let's do this. Are you thinking your day job needs a little bit of an upgrade into your dream job? I think we all deserve a promotion. And today's episode is all about shifting this reality you have going on of your day job and shifting it to the reality of your dream job. I cannot wait to share the messages I received today. So this podcast episode actually makes me think about how I got into this work in the first place. And it actually started off with this concept of work and jobs and what I'm supposed to do with my life and purpose. And those were the questions. I truly was this young child that knew that I was supposed to do something with my life, but had no idea what that was. And as a kid, I kind of just always saw it as a job. And I was very much a black sheep in my family because my father is a physician. My mother was a science professor and TA and later a science teacher. And then my older brother, since being very young, knew that he was going to be a doctor. And my younger brother just kind of assumed he was also going to be a doctor. They were both really good students, much more studious than I was. And it just seemed like everybody else had a track but me. So in addition to kind of having this feeling that there was like something I was meant to do, I also had this contrast of seeing these other people who seemed like they had it all figured out. And of course, it was hard growing up in this family because unintentionally, the message I was getting was that science or math or these things that were more logical were more important. And that is what we needed to do. And, you know, I'm a child of two immigrants. So that's what my parents needed to do. So also that was passed on to us. And you want to hear something funny? I grew up thinking this my whole life. And as I got older, I realized like what a lie that programming was because first of all, my father, when he graduated high school, he first went to a community college for like a year or so. I don't know how long he was there. And then he enrolled in NYU because my parents, after Cuba, were living in Newark, in that area, right, where all the Cubans are. And then my dad went to college at NYU and he was enrolled as a film student and he wanted to be a film major. And my mom tells this really funny story that freshman year, she kind of like let him be. She was at a school in New Jersey, Kane University. I don't know if anybody has heard of that one. It was Kane College at the time. And my mom says that she's like, yeah, you know, I just like let your dad pretend he was going to be a film major. But I always knew that I was going to convince him to be a doctor. And she's like, you know, at some point she told my dad, she's like, listen, this idea of you being a filmmaker, super cute, but that's not for us. We are immigrants. We need something that is going to guarantee our survival. We do not have this luxury of doing something creative. So my dad, lo and behold, changed his major, became a, I forget what he studied, but eventually became a doctor. And funny story is that my older brother, who I always thought was like this super science genius or whatever, one day later as we were older, he was already a full-on doctor, told me, he's like, oh my gosh, no, like college was so hard for me because I had to major in biology when I really just wanted to major in English. He's like, I was so much better at English. And he had a double major in biology and English. I'm like, what? These people have been lying to me my whole life. Like I was just the only one that could not fake that other track where the rest of them could, which is so funny. But anyways, so I think it's just so interesting, these programs that we are taught. And then that's how we ended up in these tracks where we are living a day job instead of our dream job. And we really think that they are different and they shouldn't be the same thing. And I guess like I at some point was willing to be broke. That's really kind of how I ended up here. I remember having to make this choice in college. First of all, I just knew I wasn't good at math and science. So I had to get through college by finding a major that didn't ask me to go to those deeper math classes. I could only go so far. And that's how I ended up in communications. And after communications, and I started thinking about like what I wanted to do for work, I really was just making this decision that I knew I wanted to be a creative and I was okay if I wasn't going to make money. I just kind of was like, I will give that up. And that was kind of my first step, interesting enough, because I was really taught that I was not going to make money if I was an artist or a creative or things like that. And I think that that is not just the programming of my immigrant parents, but I think in our society, that's what we have been taught. And then lo and behold, there was this huge bubble or a moment for bloggers and influencers, and I just happened to be part of that. So it was really interesting that my intuition was like, well, it's all right, we're just going to be broke. And then later on, I learned that there actually is a route for many creatives, not just like the world that we used to live in, where there was just like this 1% of creatives that actually made money. Now we see so many more. And yeah, it was just like a big moment for me. And it's interesting to see how my family has changed by just seeing me do what I do. My older brother, his daughter is just, she's just gorgeous, and she's a little model. She models for different like big brands. And I always think to myself, my brother's kind of comfortable with it because he knows that his sister took this track. I think that without that, he'd be a little bit hesitant. So it's really been interesting to see how my path has healed my family's path as well. And also this idea that I am that person in this lineage, right? My kids are going to be able to take on something creative if that is what they feel called to do. And I think that as millennials, not that I think, I know, because I've done so many readings, I've read so many souls, as millennials and just kind of that era, right? Even like the older millennial, we truly are here to disrupt these systems. And one of the main systems is money. So of course we're thinking about work in a way that no generation has thought of before, and that we are pushing the envelope to be like, can I make money doing something I love? Is there another way? Or this 9-to-5 thing where I come home at 7, I only see my kids for 45 minutes before they go to sleep. I'm not sure this works for me. And that is truly our role in the lineage. So every soul has multiple purposes, but then we also have these collective purposes that have to do with our lineage. So anybody here that's listening to this episode, I would put down a lot of money and bet that part of your purpose is this lineage breaking. And we're doing it together, but we're also doing it in our own families. And of course, we're looking at money because we are looking at the system of how we have believed as a collective of how money comes in, which honestly feels a little bit like enslavement. Like anytime I think about the ways we've been receiving money over the last few generations, I'm like, wow, we're like freaking slaves. And a lot of what we're doing is breaking free from that. And that's why I felt so passionate about making this episode. I'm very passionate about this topic. If there's anything that I feel like I'm very good at and like very passionate about, is this. It's like making money in a way that you love to make money. So when this message was coming through, I was so excited. I was like, thank you, God. I'm so excited to do an episode on this. So I have 7 messages that we're gonna go through. I truly hope that they support you, that they speak directly to your soul, and also give you that encouragement and that hope that you may need in this moment. I also wanna mention that some of us might be at a current job or maybe running a business that you're like, well, like I'm okay with this job. I'm okay with this business. But I would encourage you to maybe ask yourself, can you promote what you're currently doing? Like, can you promote yourself? Like, so as a business owner, let's say like I'm in business and I do several readings, but let's say that doesn't truly fulfill me, that my dream job would be making money doing XYZ. I think these messages are also for people like that, that maybe need a promotion in the current situation that they're in, that they can make what they have even better. And I don't think it's just for people that are completely unhappy with their 9-to-5. I think we can go beyond that. All right, let's get into today's messages. Message number 1. I just want to confirm that this is soul purpose stuff. I really want you to know that if you found this, this feels very destined. This conversation, you being here, this idea that maybe there's a better way for you to make money. Maybe you've already been thinking that. Maybe you have an idea for what you wish it would be. The message I got first was like, this is part of your purpose. And I know that sometimes we think that we want something because wouldn't it be cool to have that? But it's almost like we feel a little bratty. Who am I, right, to make money doing this when my dad worked 12-hour shifts at the hospital to provide for his family? What a brat am I? Or who do I think I am to have a greater dream than that and make more money than my father, who went to school for 9 years to be the doctor that he is, right? So I think there's a little bit of that sometimes. You're thinking that it's just like a little girl childish dream and desire, but this message is here to tell you that it is actually destiny stuff. This is completely connected to your purpose. It's completely connected to why you're here. And I don't mean that you are here to run a certain business. It's just that often the business or the job or the career is this portal or this container for the transformation that your soul is looking for. So I might say, you know what? I really want to have an ice cream shop, let's say. How silly is that, right? Like, oh, that's your purpose? Your soul came to open an ice cream shop? Ice cream's not even good for you, you know, let's say. But that is not the purpose. The purpose is not the actual ice cream shop or selling the ice cream or giving ice cream to children. The purpose is what that commitment to that ice cream shop is going to bring up in you. You are going to transform in order to be successful at that company, and you are going to transform your lineage by saying goodbye to a corporate job and doing what you love. That is life-changing, lineage-changing stuff. And that is why your soul came here, right? It may not be the ice cream shop. I was reading somebody recently who had this feeling that she had something else to do, that she didn't love her job. She knew she was meant to do something else. And the struggle she was having was that she felt like the job she should come up with, the new business or new career, should be like saving baby elephants, you know, or something. And I was reading, I was like, actually, you're just going to run a lifestyle company. It's going to be something like inflatables, like birthday inflatables, you know, those bounce houses and stuff. It could be a company like that. It's not like the company itself has to help, you know, immigrants coming from blah, blah, blah. That is a misconception, or it's a misinterpretation of this idea of purpose. We think that the thing we're doing is purpose when it's actually who we become by running that thing or having that new identity of doing that kind of work and living that kind of life. That is our purpose. So if that company of running vending machines, let's say, right, gives my client more time and more time to be with her kids, and she gets to write a memoir that she's been wanting to write, and she gets to travel, that is her purpose. That new identity, that changes so much for her. She's going to be forced to change and to let go of parts of her. She's going to change her kids beyond her. I mean, there's so many things, right, that come of that. So it's that is the purpose, not the actual thing that she is doing. So that's why this message is like, listen, don't think that this is silly. There's a reason why this is calling you, and you are absolutely here and on the right path. Of course, my hope is that you go forward and keep going, but I just want to confirm this feeling. Message number two, in order to move into this dream job scenario where you're really living a life feeling in alignment with the way you make money and work, you have to release the way you see discomfort. It's like we're prioritizing feeling comfortable over prioritizing what is calling us, what's a must, what is pulling us, what is waking us up in the middle of the night, because we fear being uncomfortable. And uncomfortable is like a really funny thing. We just don't do well with it. And because we live in a human body, the body, obviously, one of the ways it tells us something is wrong, it signals discomfort. So maybe it's like, I get swollen or get a rash or I get a cold. This is my body telling me, hey, a virus just found us, or you just cut yourself and now, you know, the inflammation process is starting, all that. So when this uncomfortable feeling comes, we just stop. And of course, in order to shift from what you've been doing to where you're going, it is by nature going to be uncomfortable, right? And what we think is that because it's uncomfortable, then it's not the right thing. Because we are thinking about the future. We're like, oh, you know, I remember when I first wanted to do this work, like I saw myself, you know, making money selling books. Like that's all I could see. I did not see the very uncomfortable road it took me to get there. So in the beginning, when I would hit these uncomfortable moments, I was like, oh shoot, I'm doing it wrong. And it's like, well, maybe we are not doing it wrong. Maybe we are stretching, right? We really need to reprogram our minds to believe that when we hit discomfort, it is not because we are doing something wrong. We are growing. We are letting go. We are shifting our identity. We are shedding an old skin to become a new person. There is nothing wrong with discomfort. It's actually part of the plan. And yeah, you get uncomfortable until you find a comfortable spot. So it's kind of like saying my kid is going to start to go through puberty and he's going to change, his body's going to change, like all sorts of things. He's going to feel uncomfortable. I mean, I remember as a girl, I'm still waiting for my breasts to come in, but I had a lot of friends that their breasts did come in during junior high. My boys, now that they're noticing about breasts, they'll be like, you know, they've asked me before. I'm like, I'm still waiting for mine to come in. Like, mine are going to come in soon. But anyways, I remember my friends like wearing sports bras and feeling so uncomfortable. And like, God, it was horrible to be seen that way, like to be in this in-between place. We all just want to be the butterfly. We hate being seen when we're in that middle cocoon place. And because of that, we stop and we don't move forward and make these changes. So I think this message is about expecting to be uncomfortable and to help yourself during that time. You know, my older brother's an anesthesiologist. And I remember when I was pregnant with my first, I was like, okay, tell me all the things about epidurals and, you know, anesthesia when it comes to delivery. I knew I was going to deliver in a hospital. I grew up in a hospital because my father is a neonatologist. And my brother told me this really interesting thing. He's like, listen, Nikki, you can totally do it without it. I've seen it a bunch of times, but I just want to let you know, the body does the strangest things when it's in pain. When it is beyond discomfort and moves into pain, it does really weird things. And he was telling me there's a difference between being uncomfortable and being in pain. And if you find that you're hitting that threshold, I would advise you to consider anesthesia because the body will react really poorly to pain. And I felt like that was like a metaphor for life, right? To know the difference between like, okay, I'm uncomfortable. When I hit pain, perhaps I might need some extra support. Like maybe I need something. I write about this in my book, Soul Led Living. I was trying to shift careers and I was trying to make this big leap, but I was feeling so uncomfortable in pain and I needed to bring it down a notch. And I actually brought in an easier job than a harder job that I was going after at the time. And that really helped me deal with that pain for a while. And then when I was ready, so like little by little, I shifted into the more demanding work. So that is something for us to keep on this road because it is going to be uncomfortable. And for us to know that, because we're probably going to need support during this time. This is when we hire coaches or therapists. Or for me in the beginning of my journey, I invested in an assistant really early on because that helped me with the discomfort. I was like, okay, we can work together. I can hand some things off. So really, you know, just first of all, reorganizing the idea of discomfort in our minds and also deciding like what kind of support we're going to take as we make these shifts. Friends, I'm so excited to announce that my company just released a new app called Clarity. I made this as a space where you can take your spiritual practice to the next level. I am so grateful that this podcast has become part of your practice, but I'd love to invite you to go a bit deeper. I want to invite you to shift your energy completely, and you can do that with the Clarity app. The greater and lasting shifts will come from practices like listening to the guided meditations we have. We have Soul Path Meditation, we have the Trust Yourself Meditation, we have the Spirit Baby Meditation, and many, many more. You'll also get to take advantage of my practical guidance. You hear me share practical tips on the pod all the time. Well, in the app, I've made videos for some of those tips, like how to teach your AI how to give you a reading. And for my business lovers, we have exclusive pod episodes uploading there regularly. Right now, we have messages about your business's big shift and the energy of successful selling. Plus, as a member, you're invited to a monthly reading with me where I answer questions live with my intuitive downloads. You get extended Monday readings and, of course, a community section where you can connect with other brave hearts just like yourself. The link to join is in the description below. I can't wait to see you in the Clarity app and see how much your life is shifting into the authentic expression you know it is meant to be. Message number three, day job to dream job is all about a money mindset shift. It is going to be very hard to make the shift if you are not working on your money mindset. So I'm almost seeing like the money mindset has to be worked first and then you will see yourself take action. So a lot of people will be like, oh, I know I want to do XYZ for career or whatever. I want to open this business, but I can't seem to get myself to take the steps. And I'm like, yeah, because your mind doesn't align with the success that you want. So your mind needs new ways of thinking so that it can then be like, oh, of course, as I take these steps, I'm going to be successful. But You know, for example, one of the main things I needed to do in the beginning when I was deciding I wasn't going to be like my family and I was going to do something more creative, I had to, number one, the way that I got through it, instead of telling myself like, oh, creatives make money, I told myself it's okay if I don't make money. It was like interesting that that was kind of like all that was available to me at the time. All that was available to me was, well, then I'm just going to let go of money, you know? But it's funny that at least broke apart this idea that the only way to make money was doing these other jobs. And that was my workaround. It was my rebellious workaround, that belief. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to say that that's not true, but that's not what's going to hold me back. And it allowed me to take steps. Of course, I was so young. I didn't know that you can upgrade your thoughts. These days, I would upgrade my thoughts. And actually that move to California. So after college, I moved to LA to work in the film industry. And I was like, well, I'm just going to be broke, you know? And what was interesting is that when I got to LA, I met all these rich creatives, like just left and right. I was like, wait. You sold a script for like $2 million and now you're working on your next one? What in the world? I kept meeting people like this and I was surrounded by people like this. And I was surrounded by a lot of people who believed they can make money being creative. And that was how I changed my mindset. That was the beginning, by being around those people. But in the beginning, I didn't have access to that. So I had to work around it by being rebellious. But the only reason we can take action is when our mind is aligned. So you are probably like, oh gosh, I can't take any action. Of course, because every action you're taking, your mind is like, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. This is not going to work. So we need to introduce new money mindset to this. And obviously, like, it depends. If you're thinking, I want to do something creative, then you might surround yourself or look at a lot of creatives who are making money and talk to them, get into the nitty gritty, ask them these like intimate questions so that you can really believe you can make money doing that. You may also have to, let's say you're more like, no, I just want to have like a small business that makes good money and gives me a better schedule, right? Then finding small business owners, finding people that talk about those topics and really starting to see how are they thinking. And then of course, like doing the mindset work, being like, okay, these are my new beliefs. These are things that I'm not going to let myself believe anymore. These are things I'm letting go, and really changing the way you think about this and doing that first before you put pressure on yourself to actually take new steps. Sometimes even you may not know what the dream job is because these thoughts are keeping you from the dream job, right? If I have been taught that security is the most important thing and the only way to make money is by being a doctor, attorney, accountant, whatever, like whatever my parents taught me, I'm not gonna let myself come up with a new idea. It's kind of like saying like, I'm not gonna let myself to think I can have a lover. I'm committed to my husband. Like I'm committed to this marriage. No way, I'm not gonna go anywhere that a lover can like maybe come my way. But if I start to tell myself like, you know what? If you're not happy in your marriage, you don't have to be there. This isn't the only way. Like you don't have to stay in this marriage, guess what's going to happen a few months later? I'm going to find myself in places where a lover may show up. So if you're thinking like, I don't even know what it is, I would also tell you this is the first step. It's the money mindset. And speaking of money mindset, I'm very passionate about this topic as well. So I made a whole video about money mindset in my Clarity app. It's under the intuitive business section. And it's very similar to this episode. It's like messages, but about money mindset. So I can't wait for you to check it out. Link in our description for how to get into the Clarity app. Message number four, I was really getting that your dream job is connected to community. So I feel like whether, again, it's a creative job, whether it's a business, whether it's a new career, it feels like a lot of it starts with the community. And I think that is how money actually comes in. So my sense is like, think community first. Let's say you're coming up with a product, or maybe you're coming up with a business, or even let's say a book or something. I would really fall in love with a community first. So when I first started my work, right, I was in love with people that were dreamers and wanted to live a bigger life. I was obsessed with those people. I loved them. I did in-person events so that I could meet them in person. And they have forever been my muse, right? So many of you guys, if I know you or if I've seen you comment, you are my muses. I'm in love with you guys. And that's how I make all the content and everything that I do. And then, of course, lo and behold, that's what makes me successful as well, because I'm in love with a community. So that's what I was getting here. I was actually getting a lot of also like seeing people falling in love with their local community. So I live in a small town that is really exciting right now because there's just so many new changes and the downtown is being developed and stuff. And I always tell Benny, I'm like, oh, if we were into communities and that's not really our thing, or at least not right now in this moment in life, I would love to have like a project. Or I always think like maybe my daughter would want to run something in the local town because it would be so fun to do that because we love this community. So I saw that as well. People that open those little shops on Main Street, a store or a smoothie shop or a restaurant or something, like that seems like those, that dream is successful because of the community. It's because of being in love with the community. I just kind of feel like you won't be able to get around this without like loving a type of person. Now, some of you might be very burnt out from the work that you do and you might be like, I don't want anything to do with people. But I would say that you can still be in love with a community and have limited access to you. So I can still be in love with my local community and have a smoothie shop, but not be the one like serving the smoothies. I could be the visionary and the person that's dreaming it, but like never involved with physically seeing the people. But that's only because I'm limiting access to my energy because I can support the community better when my energy is full. You know what I mean? So I don't think that this is about like you need to work with every single individual person. This is more just like you need to be in love with a community. And that is what's going to make the dream job successful. Message number 5. This one wasn't super clear to me when it was coming through, but I think it'll be clear as I talk. I was getting that your heart is being used to feel the wrong feeling. So the heart is so amazing. It could do so much, but it could feel deep, sad feelings. It could feel very elated feelings. It has all this capacity, you know? And I was getting that in order to move into the dream job, you have to open your capacity for joy and for success and for loving yourself. Like, oh my God, I did this. Like, this worked out. And my sense is that you're using your heart to feel either sorry for yourself. You know, like sometimes we soothe ourselves by being the victim. You know what I mean? Think about mom, right? Mom can either soothe us by being like, yeah, that was so unfair. I can't believe they're treating you that way. Or mom can be like, that was really hard, but you know what? You are strong and we can do this instead. And like, why don't you try this, right? So mom can either love us as the hero or mom can love us as the victim. There are two ways to soothe ourselves. And it feels like the heart is being used sometimes a little bit too much to be, you're almost like soothing through the victim by accident to help you get through a hard thing. So you might be having a really hard situation at work, but you have to stay there, let's say, and you're almost used to feeling a certain way about your life. It could also be like, well, yeah, you know, I'm always hopeful, but whatever, things don't seem to work out for me, but I'll keep trying. So it's like that addiction to feeling that way or to being in that feeling doesn't allow you to move to the next level because the dream job is really this feeling of, I did it. It's just this feeling of like, man, I'm so proud of myself. Like, I love myself. I did this. I deserve this. It's higher frequency feelings. So the heart itself needs to be cleansed is what I was getting. We actually have a meditation in the Clarity app called, I think it's like called Cleanse Your Heart or something, meditation. We'll link it below. And that's a good one too, so that you can use the heart for its power. The heart is capable of so much more. The heart is almost telling me that it wants to manifest the next season for you, but you have to let go of the way you're using it. It's almost like it's a technology that you're using and you're not using it to its fullest. You know those like machines that you have in your kitchen, like the chop or something, and they come with all these different other pieces. They can do so much more, but you keep just using it to chop your walnuts or something. That's me. Benny's always like, you know that this machine comes with like 17 more things. Benny loves to like use everything a machine can do. And I'm like, I bought the machine for one reason, one reason only. Do not introduce me to the other things that it does. I just want to use it for this one thing. But obviously I'm not getting the most out of it. That's kind of what the heart is saying. The heart is saying like, I have so much more. Like, I'm not here just to soothe you. The heart's like, I'm actually here to give you the feelings of what you can have so that your life then really reflects that. If you're feeling elevated and you're bringing those elevated feelings, your reality can't help but match that. It's just almost impossible with time that your heart, when it feels a certain way, whatever, you know, emotion, you're like, okay, let's feel this. Your reality will have to ultimately catch up and reflect it. So it's asking you to use it. I see you using it also like for, what's the word? You're going to do something and like picture and like feeling how it's going to feel great. So for example, this has nothing to do with dream job, but I'm traveling to San Diego in a few weeks with my family to see my brother and to go to VidCon, you guys. My kids are into YouTube and they want to go to this conference all about YouTube. I'm like very afraid. I feel like it's going to be overwhelming. Actually, this is a great example. So instead, right now I'm feeling anxious about it and nervous about it, but I can actually, for the next couple of weeks, sit in meditation, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, doesn't have to be a long time, and really feel that trip. Use my heart and be like, you know what? We're together. We're having so much fun. We're laughing, like not even visualizing it, but feeling it so that I tell the future what I expect to feel so that when I get there, I have those feelings. I have nothing to lose because right now I am predicting some bad stuff, right? But I have nothing to lose by using my heart for something else rather than using my heart for worrying. Because right now I'm so used to worrying. Ever since I became a mom, I became such a worrier, and it's been one of those things that's been like hard for me to let go. It's how I use my heart, and it dilutes my ability to really feel joy and have like that greater capacity for joy. So I had to catch myself all the time when worry comes. Like worry is just actually trying to dilute the bigger feelings, because sometimes we're like, can I even have the capacity to hold that much joy? Am I going to burst? What's going to happen to me if I have everything that I want? It's so scary in a weird way to have everything. So I'm going to dilute it with fear. I'm going to dilute it with worry in my case. Like you're diluting your heart with something. And that's what's really being asked to just be looked at and let go, and then letting ourselves feel into how things are going to work. Does that make sense? So yeah, check out the meditation. Message number 6. There's like this like dream job muse that hangs around you. It's kind of like a spirit guide or like an energy, or could even be the energy of what's trying to come through, right? When a course is trying to come through me, or a program, or like the Clarity app, they all have energy and I can feel myself getting pregnant with them. And they're muses. They're kind of like telling me what to do and like waking me up in my dreams. So this message was really like coming from that muse. And the muse is saying, you think you don't have time for me. You really are convincing yourself that you do not have time for me. And she's just kind of challenging us. Is that really true? Have any of you already had kids? And then do you ever think about all the time you had on your hands before you had kids? And you were like, what in the world? And somehow you made space for this child. You pushed everything else aside to be the parent to this child, and somehow you made it work, right? So that's the way we need to look at this muse, this dream job that's coming through, whatever it requires from us. Maybe some of us, it's going to maybe require certifications, like new learning, like maybe we're going back to school. Some of us might be side hustling, like a totally new company that I'm starting. For some of us, it might be a creative project, writing a book. I remember having to write Soul-Led Living with a business that was very busy. I had clients, I was teaching. I wasn't making money off of books. So I was side hustling in many ways. And I had to find those hours, and I did. And it took from something, like I would write mainly very early Saturdays. So it would take a little bit of my sleep and it would take a little bit of the time from my kids. But my kids actually wanted a few hours of computer during that time. And it was the winter when I wrote. So it was like perfect. It was planned out. It was very much communicated like, hey, mom is going to write every Saturday morning, but let's think about what you want to do on Saturday mornings so that nobody's feeling like ignored or anything like that. And that's what this muse is talking about. She's like, you do have time, or you can make time, or how can you arrange time? And yes, this is going to require moving things around so that you can make space. My last group of Made for More, so I have this program Made for More that is really very much getting people ready to step into that dream job or whatever it is calling them, whether it's a creative project or a business. And I did it on Saturday mornings on purpose. Not that I wanted to work on Saturday mornings or teach Saturday mornings, but I knew that this client was already like jam-packed in their day, and I didn't want the class to come in the middle of like a Tuesday, in the middle of their work week. I wanted it to come on a Saturday morning, even if that meant like their kids were crawling all over them in the class or whatever it was, but I wanted them to get used to it. And when we ended the class, I was like, listen, you somehow for the last 6 weeks made time for this class. So now keep using this time. Let this be the time that you write your book or your blog or you make those videos or whatever it is, because you've already expanded and made time for this. So now how can you keep on? And I love that. And I think that it takes a little bit of work, but you're really being asked to make space. So even if you don't know what you're going to do with that space, but starting to assign space to the vision of this dream job. And lastly, my friends, this is a little bit of a harsh one, but I'm just the messenger. I was really receiving that no one is going to come and save us and that this feeling is not going away. I am so sorry to share that with you, but this calling, this feeling, if you have listened to the episode all the way to number 7, whatever is calling you is not going to go away and it's not going to be fixed by something else. I see you almost rearranging things and thinking like, well, maybe if I fix my house, maybe if I move, maybe if I ask my employers to give me Fridays off. It almost seems like you're manipulating and moving things around in order to feel more at ease. But this is not about fixing what you already have. This is about birthing what is trying to come through. So unfortunately, it's just not going to go away unless you give it space to be birthed. And this is when our body starts to give us problems and all that stuff. One of my good friends was so sick during this time where she was supposed to be writing and she wouldn't write. She was refusing to put herself out there and she just got so sick. And towards the end of it, she's like, what do you think it is? I'm like, what do you think it is? And she's like, I think I'm sick because I'm not writing. I was like, yep, that's exactly what I was going to say. So the body will start to cause problems. There is something that is trying to be birthed through you. It doesn't mean you need to birth it all tomorrow and that you're going to change your life overnight. None of that. It's just giving it space. And you know, when it comes to these projects or these kind of like new lives that are trying to be birthed through us, the gestation period can be very long. It's not like it's going to be 9 months, right? This could be a 2-year project. So you don't need to freak out that it's going to change your life overnight, but like little by little, making space for it and committing to it. One of my favorite words when it comes to my creative projects or the things that call me, at some point I decide to be devoted to them, right? So this podcast was an act of devotion. And it still is an act of devotion. It's not like this podcast makes money. When I first started it, I had no idea why I was doing it. I was doing it twice a week, but it called me. And once I decided to commit to it, I told myself I was going to be devoted to it. Because I know that when I'm devoted to what is being birthed through me, it will change me. And it will help me become who I know I'm meant to become. And I'm really interested in becoming my full self. And I believe that these projects and these new jobs and all that stuff, it's more than just money. Yes, it's going to change the way we make money and that's part of our purpose, but it's also the thing that births us. So it looks like we are birthing it, but it is birthing us. It is birthing the new version of us that we see when we visit the future self. So we need these projects as much as they need us. And when I decide to commit to one, I decide to be devoted to it. And I'm just ready for it to change my life. Sending you guys so much love. I hope that this was expansive and supportive. And I'm just so excited to see you take this path. If you would like my support with this path, my new program, Made for More, is going to be open this week. I'll send you the link as to how you can join. And it supports people. If this spoke to you, it supports you. So I'm happy to continue to be there, continue to coach you. But if not, if this is like where it ends, I cannot wait to see what is birthed through you. I love you so much, and I will see you in the next episode. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you have a sec, I would so appreciate it if you would leave me a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews are so helpful. And if you're ready to start living your soul-led life, pick up my latest book, Soul-Led Living, available on Amazon. Until next time, love you much.